Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IDFC First Bank Q3 FY23 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Shah. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, and good evening everyone present on the call. This is Kunal Shah from ICICI Securities. Today we have with us Mr. V. Vaidyanathan, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sudhanshu Jain, CFO and Head Corporate Center, and Mr. Saptarshi Bapari, Head Investor Relations from IDFC First Bank to discuss their Q3 and the nine-month FY23 earnings. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Hi, this is Vaidyanathan.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Sudhanshu here.
Hi, this is Saptarshi Bapari.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us on this earnings call. Just want to give a few comments from my side, then Sudhanshu can bring up the numbers. Number one, as all of you know that for the first few years we were trying to set right the liability side, but I'm happy to just announce to everybody that we are feeling very strong about what's going on in the liability side with our bank. You know, deposits are up over 40%, and we feel that we have a very strong traction on that front going by what we are seeing in the market and talking to our employees and seeing the deposits simply swelling at our place. That being firmly in place, now we're beginning to grow the loan book. On the loan book front, our book is of course growing right now about 25%. Number two is that what I do believe is a highlight about our bank is the way we are building the bank, not so much about the numbers as such, because numbers will all fall in place in due course. The more important thing is how we're building it, and we think we're building it very clean. Not just by accounting that every bank is and every institution is, but what I mean is that the way we are keeping our customer practices, the way we are dealing with the making our product services, the way we're setting the meter on charges, fees, et cetera. We're keeping everything very reasonable with the customers and in fact as slow as possible, which we do. All that is of course winning us a certain amount of goodwill in the marketplace, we believe somewhere the other. Third thing is about assets. As our assets are concerned, really on legacy accounts, et cetera, we announced last quarter, but I think some of you believed us, some of you didn't, I don't know. We are once again reiterating that we don't have any legacy issues that is going to bother us anymore. All clean and no problem there. On the assets retail, on retail side, asset quality is never the issue. Even today is not the issue. I'm happy to say that our gross NPA has come down to 1.87%, and the net has come down to something like about 0.7%. To us it's not a surprise. To some of you might feel it's, you know, it's low, but it's been like this for a very long time for us, 8 or 10 years. Not a surprise to us. It's all good. Let us say that COVID was a bit of a blip, but that has sorted itself out and we are absolutely feeling very good. Since we have a really fantastic retail lending machine, which is of delivering of a good asset quality, we feel confident to keep powering it up going ahead. That's the unique capability the bank has built. As far as the capital is concerned, the bank is well capitalized. We are capitalized running over 16% at this point of time. Fifth is about unit economics of the bank. Unit economics frankly are quite good now. As you might have noticed that the pre-provisioning operating profit of the bank has risen by about 70% in the nine-month period compared to the nine-month period of last year. When the loan book has grown only 25%. How can really operating profit grow so strong when loan book is not growing at that pace? It's coming because of operating leverage and incremental unit economics. Feel good about that, and we just have to keep pressing the pedal and the bank will keep getting more and more profitable. It's become a reasonably relatively simple model to run from here on. As far as fee income is concerned, it's looking pretty good for us. Retail fees constituting over 90% of the total fee income. Finally, on profitability, I think bit by bit ROE is rising at the bank. We are quite proud that we already touched double digits We had guided for double digit end of the year, but I think last quarter we did it, but this quarter kind of reaffirmed it. You watch next quarter. We're not very concerned now because we feel that we're firmly in the double digit now, and we don't think we'll dip below that. Now, last, of course, is, corporate governance, technology, and ESG, et cetera. But that we will talk about in the course of discussion. So that's a very quick brief, and all course is reasonably clear to us. I'll request Sudhanshu to make his comments about the numbers. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nadia. I'll start with the balance sheet metrics and then move to asset quality and profitability. The balance sheet size of the bank has grown by 27% on a YOY basis to reach ₹2,21,375 crores at December end. We continue to see a healthy growth on our lending book and in deposit mobilization. Customer deposits for us has grown strongly by 8.4% on a Q&Q basis and 44% on a YOY basis. Within the same, CASA deposits increased by 39% and term deposits grew by 50%. CASA balances even during the quarter grew by 5%, and we also saw strong mobilization in TD as due to increase in the overall systemic rates. CASA ratio was stable at 50% for the quarter, and even average CASA ratio was at 50% for the quarter. CASA and term deposits less than 5 crores was at 83% of the customer deposits, which points to the granularity of deposit mobilization. Moving on, we opened about 37 branches during the quarter, and the branch count now stands at 707 branches. The bank also maintained an average LCR of 122% during Q3, as against 131% in Q2. While the ratio moderated and the excess liquidity got deployed, we are still well above the regulatory requirement of 100%. We also saw a reduction in high-cost legacy borrowings, which we have been reporting, by ₹1,687 crores during the quarter. The residual amount is now at ₹18,762 crores, which will run down in the course of next 2 to 3 years. We have given more details around this in the presentation on slide number 28. Moving on to the asset front, I am happy to report that the overall funded assets have crossed ₹1,50,000 crores, and it grew by 25% on a YOY basis. Retail and commercial book grew at a faster pace to reach ₹1,16,680 crores. We saw strong growth across all product segments. To give some more colors, home loans grew by 48% on a YOY basis. We saw disbursements holding up well in this segment in the current quarter despite increasing the interest rates. Wheel segment, which includes two-wheeler and car, registered strong growth of 50% on account of the festive demand and our increasing distribution. Happy to state also that we have a 55% share on the EV finance in this year, in that segment. Consumer loans comprising of consumer durables, personal loans and cross-sell book grew by 27% on a YOY basis. The rural book also grew by 36% on a YOY basis. Credit card, which is relatively a new book, that grew by 89% on a YOY basis to reach ₹3,146 crores. The bank has issued more than 1.3 million cards since launch in January 21. In fact, the number of cards which have been sourced have doubled in last 1 year. Gross spends on credit card increased by 19% sequentially and 86% on a YOY basis. More details are given on slide 31 of the presentation. On the wholesale banking front, the non-corporate infra loans grew by 17%. The infrastructure book continues to come down. It's now 3.7% of the total funded assets as compared to 6.6% a year earlier. Moving on to asset quality, the gross and net NPA of the bank further improved by 22 bps and 7 bps respectively, Q&Q, and stood at 2.96% and 1.03% respectively. PCR gross of technical write-off stood at 76.6% at end of December quarter. In fact, if we exclude the winding infra book, GNPAs and NPAs at bank level stood at 2.11% and 0.6%, and provision coverage goes up to 83%. Even on the retail front, GNPAs improved sequentially by 16 bps. to now below 2% and was at 1.87%, and with the net NPA being just 0.7%. The corporate non-NPA book continues to be well provided with a PCR of 99%. The overall restructured book as a percentage of total funded assets has further reduced to 0.9% as compared to 1% last quarter. The SMA1 and SMA2 book on the retail book was stable at around 1% and much lower than 3.2% a year ago, which is a good indicator of a better portfolio being built. Even in the corporate book, the ratio of SMA 1 and 2 is sub 0.2%. Slippages for the quarter were marginally lower than the previous quarter, despite the increase in the overall book. Moving on to profitability, our profits for 9 months this year was ₹1,635 crores, as against a loss of 197 crores last year reported in the same period. This is on account of increase in pre-provisioning operating profit by 70% and also lower provisions by 57%. Profit after tax for the current quarter increased to ₹605 crores versus ₹281 crores in Q3 last year, which is an increase of 115% on a YOY basis and a sequential increase of 9%. This has been driven by strong growth in the operating income. On a quarterly annualized basis, the ROE continues to expand, and for Q3 FY23, it stood at 1.1% and ROE has reached 10.72%. Net interest income grew by 27% on a YOY basis to ₹3,285 crores. Fee and other income also saw a strong increase of 50% YOY to ₹1,117 crores. Even on a sequential basis, fee income saw strong growth. We have given more details around the fee breakup in the investor presentation on slide 57. The bank had a trading gain of ₹36 crores in Q3 as compared to a trading gain of ₹25 crores in Q3 last year, and a trading gain of ₹116 crores in Q2 previous quarter. Core operating income, excluding trading loss, increased by 32% on a YOY basis, aided by strong NIM fee income growth, which I mentioned before. Operating expenses grew by 23% on a YOY basis. Cost to income ratio, excluding trading gain, improved to 72.2% in Q3. From 77.6% in Q3 last year, and was also about 1% lower than Q2. As a result of the above, the core operating profit excluding trading gains grew by 64% on a YOY basis and 16% on a Q-on-Q basis. Provisions increased by 15% on a YOY basis and stood at ₹450 crores. However, the credit cost for the quarter was stable at 1.2% as a percentage of average funded assets. For the full year, credit cost was low at 1.13% against our guidance of 1.5%. Moving on to the last section, the bank has maintained strong capital adequacy and its CAR, including profits, was at 16.06% and with a CET ratio of 13.49%. We have mobilized Tier 2 of ₹1,500 crores in the December quarter, which also improved our capital adequacy during the quarter. The bank is well above the regulatory threshold and looks forward to continue the growth in a profitable manner. With this, I conclude my remarks and we can move on to the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ishan Agarwal from Arivna Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, many congratulations on a super performance on all fronts this time around. Very happy to see core ROE excluding trading gains at 10.2%. And appreciate the management finishing the commentary within 15 minutes, leaving more time for Q&A. I have a few questions regarding the numbers and the outlook ahead. Firstly, so we have seen that the bank is engaging in a lot of marketing activity with the tag Zero Fee Banking since its fourth foundation day, that is 18th December 2022. I've been a customer of the bank since 2019, and a majority of the services mentioned in the Zero Fee Banking promotion were already free. So is it just that we have started marketing a benefit aggressively which previously existed?
First of all, thanks so much, Ishan, for your comments. Now, with regard to, yes, I think our bank was giving most of these things free, but by the way, they're not all free in the market, just for information. For our bank, frankly, the last 3-4 years, they were all free. So, but we were charging on maybe a few items of those. We thought to ourselves, anyway, giving everything free, we might as well, you know, remove the 3-4 items they're charging on and make it a much more straightforward statement and give peace of mind to customers. So yes, so we just packaged what we were doing and added a little more to it.
So the addition of these few services which you've made free, will it have an impact on the future fee income for the bank, like in terms of if you can quantify that?
No, we don't quantify that, but well, as you know, banks make a lot of money in fees through these 25 items. Whether there's NEFT or RTGS or IMPS or home bank charge, non-home branch charge, you know, cash deposit, cash withdrawal, that banks do make fees. So obviously, by not charging it, we are giving up something. You can think of it that this way we built the bank from the beginning. So it's already factored in the way we've done our business thus far. So there's no material movement that we will believe that will happen just because of this move.
Okay. And in one of your interactions, I think you had mentioned that cost to income will trail down to 65%, should trail down to 65% by Q3 FY24, that is December 23. Looking at the trajectory and the slightly slow pace of reduction in cost to income in the last three quarters, like if I have to give you a number, 72.98 in Q1 to 72.93 in Q2 to 72.17 in Q3, do you believe the bank can achieve 65% by Q3 FY24?
No, first of all, I think if you recollect the last time's call, we had corrected you on this front and said, look, you know, looks like 25 you will get towards this number. So we're just setting the record right on that. And number two, you know, now you will see that year on year, the cost to income of the ratio of the bank will come down. This, we don't think there's any doubt on that front. So we are more tying ourselves down to return on equity because end of the day, everything has to boil down to ROE.
And so what is the target for return on equity for 24?
We are not specifically given a guidance out, but if you recollect the original guidance we put out at the time of merger of the bank, and it's there in the last page of presentation, we actually...
13 to 15%.
Exactly. So we said 13 to 15. And, you know, of course, 5 years is a long time to take such a long shot and get a prediction right. But the good news is that we are getting it right, we feel.
And that too after doing an equity raise twice because of COVID once because of COVID. So it's actually very commendable. That...
No, thanks so much. No, you know, really... Frankly, when people put out a 5-year plan, that too, you know, if today you would put out a 5-year plan, there is a reasonable clarity that we'll get it right. But remember, at the time of merger, there were so many swinging balls all over the place. And the ball was swinging all over the place. And meanwhile, so we were just peeping out in the future and thinking what the bank could look like or should look like. And to top that up, then there was COVID. Who could think of COVID and the kind of stuff it brought on us? Then there was, you know, those few bad loans that knocked off on 2,000 crores from over 2,000 crores from our P&L on the net worth got knocked out. After all that, also we feel that we will be somewhere in zone there. So I feel that things are on track.
So say we raise, say, because we formed a capital raising committee and we will be raising capital in this financial year. The next financial year. In spite of the capital raise, we will be able to achieve 13 to 15%. ROE?
Yeah, we talked about FY25, just for information. If you see the investor presentation, that spot, I mean, that particular page, you go and have a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, yeah, there are no ifs and buts around this. Even if you raise capital, we want to get there. We want to keep our eyes there, fixed there.
Okay, okay. And there is an amazing trend on the way our fee income is growing. I mean, if I just look at quarter on quarter, it's 18.2%. So first of all, is there any one-off for this quarter?
No, there's no one-off.
So there are no one-offs as such in this
quarter. Okay, okay. And how do you see the trend of fee income? Should this trend continue going ahead?
Yes, it should continue.
Okay, and I think the next question will not be that significant, but just wanted to know, because of the news in the market, what is our exposure to VI as on 31st December 22?
We haven't called out a number, but you can say that at that time we gave them 500 crores, and we had made it a quarterly repayment over a four-year period, or three-year
period. Over a three-year period, so exposure is down by already one-third, and the average residual maturity is now less than 1 year.
So okay. Now you can think about every quarter we're getting about 45 crores back of principal, and then so things are broadly headed downwards. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sagar Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and first of all, many congratulations for another superb set of numbers actually in this quarter.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so you can say maybe sorry to stress on that operating on your OPEX actually, but my question was related to your OPEX. So in this quarter also we saw almost a double digit growth in our operating cost, and next year you are guiding for a 13-15% ROE. Although we have set a very your NIMs are very healthy at around 6.36 if we annualize for this quarter, but already we are at 707 branches. So can you give some at least a flavor that in FY24 and FY25 what kind of branch addition are you seeing, so that our we can have a review that what kind of operating cost growth actually are you factoring in your entire cost portfolio?
See, we are almost coming to the end of 23, and this 13-15 ROE guidance we had given for 25. That's why I pointed out, just so that there's no confusion on this front. So so that gives a 2 year window as per our original guidance to move from the current number of call it 10.5 to that number. So we think we will work towards that. Now, with regard to your other question about branch, we should be adding what, about 150 a year?
Yeah, yeah.
About 150 a year.
So 150 per year, you're going to add your branches?
Correct.
Okay, and sorry, I didn't get your point previously about the 10.5 that you were referring to.
Yes, we reached 10.5, and I hope you'll agree that it was a rather swift swing into the 1% ROA league banks.
Absolutely.
I mean, actually internally, we are feeling very happy about the way this bank has swung into profits, and it has swung into like solid 1+1+ ROA. That has taken us into the 10%, 10.5% ROE. Now, 10.2 ROE. Now, that number, we feel there should be nothing that should stop us in this direction. Of course, it's not that we're not exactly assuring, guaranteeing that every single quarter things will keep inching. You know, there are a quarter, just 3 months. Sometimes a small swing happens this way or that way. But, but directionally, we should definitely moving in that direction.
Okay, sure. Got your point. Now, second question was on your NIMs actually. You have clocked around 6.4% NIMs for this quarter if we analyze it. So, going forward in FY24 and in FY25, do you visualize that our NIMs will will likely face some pressure actually, or are you comfortable holding at around this figure for the next 2 years?
Somewhere here. It's running a little more than what we had initially guided it for. Let's play it by the year. But broadly speaking, we are already in the zone that we would like it to be at.
Okay, sure. And my last question, sir, would be on our cost of funds. So in this quarter also we have around a 40 bps hike we saw in, I think, the first week of December in the repo hiking, as I'm mentioning too. So have we factored in all these in our yield and advances, and also have we factored in our deposit rates, or in the coming subsequent quarters are we going to witness some little rising cost of funds and little even more better yields from now? Can you give a flavor on that?
No. You're getting too greedy, I think.
Okay.
Already factored, already passed on. I don't think we should expect anything more than this. But you know what? Frankly, the game is not so much about increasing NIM and all that. The game is now about improving cost income ratio bit by bit.
Correct.
Which will happen because see, it's a very simple game of leverage. And very simple game of operating leverage, actually, not just leverage, operating leverage. So it will just watch this game. I think most people haven't figured out a bank yet. The way this bank is fundamentally structured now in a financial sense, the income at these levels should continue for a while because there's no reason for it not to, because after all, this certain product mix is giving a certain yield. There's certain cost of funds from a particular offering we're giving to the market. So, and in any case, there's a little bit of buffer still for us. We are sitting on a little bit of buffer because of that 18,000 crore?
18,000 legacy borrowing.
18,000 legacy borrowing, which are paying about 8.9% or so. So that is yet to come to the P&L. So once we replace them with today's cost of money. So let me just say that there is enough on the income line for us now. Automatically, when we just grow, you see the margins that are coming. If the bank is having the kind of margins we have and you just grow the book from here on, then automatically income will grow, and certainly expenses not growing at the pace that the income is growing. So it's so simple, so mathematical. If you just go to a spreadsheet and just extrapolate the bank for 1 or 2 years, you will automatically see it will come down. It will not take any superhuman effort from us anymore from here on.
Okay,
and then, that will translate directly to the P&L, and that's how it will play out.
Actually, that exactly my point was that your main driver for your ROE is nothing but only your OPEX actually. So that's why I asked about the branch addition, because right from the merger, we have moved from 206 to almost 707 branches as on the third quarter, FY23. So going ahead, subsequently, if the branch addition goes on a declining level, automatically your operating expenses and the operating leverage that you talked about will flow in. But unless we don't stop our growth of OPEX, actually, it will be a little difficult for us, actually. And maybe we have to stretch it, maybe our ambition ROE, maybe by 1 or 2 years, maybe even more, actually. So that exactly my point was.
No, absolutely. You're making a very absolutely fair comment. The thing is that, you know, frankly, the way we are building the bank, we are really not looking at this, that look whether this quarter will become this or that quarter will become, you know, will touch in precisely in the four, in 8 quarters from now or 9 quarters from now. If I have to put branches, I'll put the branches. If I have to reduce the rate, I'll reduce the rate. If I have to increase the rate, I'll increase the rate. Basically, it's a very dynamic and fluid place. All I know is that directionally we are set at a pretty good economics in this bank. You know, so therefore, supposing I told you 150 branches, if I feel like I'll make it 200, or I'll make it 125. So what I'm going to say is that these are all directional stuff. We day to day run the bank, and we are somewhere we operate in the corridor of what we say. So therefore, we are building the bank for a long run. Let me call it many years from now. And a quarter here or there, I'm not particularly bothered. So short point is therefore that uh, uh, is, is that our game from here on is simple, actually not cut cost. Our game from here on is actually grow the book, which it will happen. And that will just feed to the, as long as incremental economics are strong, it will just feed to the ROE, ROE and profit.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll come back in with you.
No problem. Thanks, Sagar. So that's it. Your turn.
Thank you. Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ritika from Ocean Dial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, congratulations on a great set of results.
Thank you.
Would like to first hear your views on the outlook on credit growth for the industry.
Well, it's quite strong. The market's growing very well. Basically, I think a bit people are coming off a low base. As you know, last year was COVID and all that. So it's all looking good. And what I feel is that when I look around and see the market, I feel that most bankers have become reasonably conservative now. It's not just us. I see people following fairly good practices. I don't find anybody crazy or aggressive out there. It's a general approach in banking. I think people have burned their fingers, learned the lessons through the COVID period, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the way I'm looking at it is that there are certain structural guardrails also that have come to the country these days, which are also putting credit growth on a little more safer path than before. So if you have later time in the discussion, and if you're interested, I'll expand on it. And I feel that that is probably the basis of credit growth. Basically, that's the foundation of the growth is coming from. So I feel that this 70-odd% growth that has happened now, well, in this range, at least for a few quarters, it should stay, and then we'll have to take it as it comes.
Sure, sir. So then I maybe see the results for this particular quarter. So, you know, it's a great set of credit growth across the, you know, portfolio. So just, you know, your thoughts on maybe the rural microfinance, which has done, you know, a good set of growth this particular quarter. And we see that, like you had guided that, you know, corporate had bottomed out and would start seeing growth, and that is visible. So just your view, outlook on, or other views on what are we seeing in these two portfolios?
See, in our case, the home loan business, of course, is growing very well. The YOY growth on home loans is 48%. So our MSME business is growing really very well. And some business for us, for the bank, is also new, relatively newer for the bank, like gold loans, digital loans, etc., or credit cards. They're of course newer businesses. Obviously, newly launched businesses grow at a relatively more pace than the other. So these are our machines that are firing: home loan, SME, and the other three businesses I talked about.
Obviously, the you know the outlook on asset quality has been improving, and just wanted to hear your views on the infra book. So how do we see that? You've mentioned it that it will run down. And secondly, the asset quality aspect on the infra book is where I want you to share the views on.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thanks for the question. So infra book, if you see, is already down to 5,500 crores, right? And in fact, NPA in this segment is relatively high at 23%, right? That is because we had certain cases which we have recognized in the past. In fact, there are no new additions which are happening on this front. There is one toll account which is part of this number, which is in NPA, where we expect some positive outcome to sort of come in due course. So in per se, we don't see any incremental stress on this portfolio. In fact, there could be some positives which could come in due course in terms of recovery. Even on this toll account which I mentioned, the entity continues to pay because it's an operating toll road, right? Our exposure has come down by about 20 crores in this quarter itself. And in previous quarters also, it sort of came off. So we feel that, of course, we are not writing any incremental exposure. The existing exposure should continue to sort of come off basis the scheduled maturity and so on.
So the 53% coverage that we hold there, we obviously appear to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, we feel we are quite comfortable there.
Sure. So just one last question. The CASA actually was a little different than what we saw for the industry. Now everybody is showing quite a moderation. Have we taken any further increases on the rate side?
No.
How should we rather see this? Yeah.
It's a fair question, I know. No, we have not done any movement on the rate front. They are what they are, or they are what they were. But somehow we are, I told you, we are getting a very strong inflow of deposits. Our bank, I don't know how, but we are a big beneficiary of public goodwill in a major way. You do a spell check in the marketplace and talk about a bank, most people will tell you that the bank is a good bank. You talk to customers of a bank, we are getting very, very, very positive feedback from customers. By the way, lots and lots of people in my own building are our customers, so I often get to hear what's going on around the place or when we visit our branches, etc. So there is goodwill, service is great. Pricing is, let me say, in the middle of the band. If you think of, if you think of the top-tier banks, ICICI, HDFC, Axis, Kotak, let me just think of them as one category of A-category banks. Then think of the next category of, say, IndusInd, Bandhan, Yes, ourselves, maybe one or two more. So we are in the bank in the center of the pack. But somehow we are beneficial, but our deposit growth is disproportionate to the price we pay. But that's what it is.
Yes, sir. So wish you the best and congratulations again on the 1% plus mark. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ritika. Did I answer your question or was I just, you felt I was being, I ran through with it?
No, sir, you did. I am a customer myself, so I know, sir. I can understand.
Thanks so much, Ritika. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mohit Surana from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. First question, if you can just break out the NIM improvement, the factors contributing to the NIM improvement for the quarter. And secondly, in terms of loan growth, the way you see it now, has it changed materially from what you would have thought, on the loan growth outlook, maybe let's say one or two quarters back, in your mind, has the growth outlook changed any bit on the loan side? Those are the two questions.
Yeah, thanks, Mohit, for the question. I'll take both of them. So on NIM, NIM increased during the quarter. And the factors contributing to that increase, I think, are three to four, which I want to sort of call out. One is, of course, the repo repricing benefit, which sort of came in, I would say, the full impact, which came in Q3. And also, there was an increase in repo, which was done by 50 basis points on October 1st. Even that sort of benefit came in on the repo-linked book, which we have. That is broadly about 40% of our book, which is repo-linked. So that was one factor. Second was, even on the investments, we had an increase in the yield because the churning of the book, which happened, particularly T-bills, right, where the old T-bills were retired, which were at lower rates and got replaced with a slightly better yield. Third, I would say, is even the excess liquidity which we were carrying got deployed. I had mentioned earlier that our LCRs have moderated while we still continue to carry a good LCR. So all of these factors sort of led to an increase in on the yield front, and even the incremental loans which we have sourced, right, that there also the rate transmission has happened. While cost of funds also increased by 20 bps, but net-net on the interest-earning assets, the increase was sharper. So all of these factors have led to a NIM increase for the quarter. On the second question, on the loan front, of course, we are seeing strong buoyancy sort of continuing on that front. We have guided that we should be comfortably able to grow the loan book for foreseeable future, I would say by 22 to 25%. So we feel quite comfortable and a strong sort of demand holding up on the loan front.
Got it. Thanks a lot for your response. Thank you, and all the best.
Thanks, Mohit.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ashutosh Mishra from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a very good set of numbers. FY23, we have seen, a lot of positive happening on the loan front, especially because of the repricing of the repo rate. But FY24, everyone is indicating that it will be the year where we need to focus on how we will garner the deposit to fund these loans. So, how do you see the deposit side of the story in the industry panning out in FY24?
Well, you mean for the industry? Well, if you see historically the industry, if you take a data point from 2010 to today, I have plotted it once. I found that actually on average grown at 10% all through this whole period of 12 years. So, if you ask me to take a guess what next is going to look like, maybe 10, maybe 11, maybe 12, and then you might argue then how it's going to grow deposits as a little credit to the market by about say 17% or whatever it will grow at. Maybe banks will also raise through some borrowings because a lot of banks have more borrowing headroom. We don't want to go the borrowing route because we're already high on borrowings and we'd rather take the money from deposits. But if you say industry-wise, that's probably the borrowings. I'm sure banks will also raise some equity, which is, if nothing else, also adds a little bit to the liquidity. There are other sources as well. Maybe the banks have some excess SLR also. That will also come back as liquidity back to the marketplace. Maybe banks have raised Tier 2 bonds also. So I would imagine all that will also come to the mix. If you notice, many banks have pretty low credit deposit ratios.
Yes.
So other banks have more headroom, I'd say.
Okay. So how we are going to play in that? What type of increase in the cost of fund? Do we see, other than the infra book, the repricing, or if I take out the infra book part of it, what type of increase in the cost of fund do you see in FY24?
No, I thought you asked the industry. So, no, for us, it's, if your question was more on the deposit front, the earlier conversation.
Yeah, deposit front.
On the deposit front, we are very clear. We want to grow our loan book through deposits.
Yeah.
So you will see that every quarter we would have funded ourselves entirely by deposits. And of course, we never say no to good money. If we found a really low cost money for a long period, a good quantum we got, probably still take it because after all, even if it came through borrowings, it's low cost, it's P&L. But in general, in spirit, our approach is to fund it through deposits. And as I answered to one of the earlier speakers, we see absolutely no problem. You can take this from me. We see absolutely no problem raising deposits. Meaning like we don't even worry about it. In the sense it's coming.
And on cost front, what type of increase do you see in the deposit cost?
As of now, we have no. I'll answer the question, but I'm not ducking it. So we have no plans to increase it as we speak. At this point of time. So, but we'll always be watchful, and if we see there's any need for it, we'll always touch it. But we, as we speak, if you ask us, are you planning to trust your interest rates tomorrow morning? The answer is no.
Okay. One.
We'll play as it comes, right? I'm saying depending on how sort of the competition reacts to those rates.
And is it fair to assume that including infra book, we will not see any significant increase in the overall cost of fund, including your...
You repeated infra book again and again from the context of liabilities. I'm a little confused. Are you meaning...
So I was trying to separate the liability side into two parts. One is infra book, separate repricing of infra book, which is expected to take
place. Okay. Sorry, my apology. I think when you meant infra, you meant on the bond side, actually. Okay, I got that. No, that will run itself off in due course.
Yeah.
In fact, we'd say that will add to the P&L. That will add to the P&L, meaning that we'll replace them with lower cost, obviously.
Yeah.
We are not factoring that in when we're talking of the fact that our NIMS will stay strong. Our NIMS will stay strong so auto by itself. We are not depending on that. That will be a bit of a bonus, actually.
Okay. Got that. Okay. And we are also, in our advertising, we are putting a lot of emphasis on the zero fee and other, charge. So does it will have any impact on our fee income growth trajectory? Or from where we will compensate what we are losing on the customer acquisition front there?
These things of concepts of compensating X for Y, etc. Many people think like that, but we don't think like that. So kar diya bas. We don't have to, everything does not have to be matched pie for pie. We finished, we talked off some fee, we forgot about it, that's it.
Okay.
It will come when we build a good franchise, build good customer goodwill, all that, they all pay back in due course when they pay back, maybe 1 year or 2 years. So management is played broadly in judgment only. So it'll pay back. If it doesn't pay back, it doesn't. But the we haven't accounted for these things pie to pie. But basically, anyway, independent of this little bit of fee income, the bank is doing really well on beginning to do well, let's say, cross selling products to the customers. Now our branches are a little more active on cross-sell than before. There is a very good amount of goodwill with customers. You know, customers notice over a period of time that this bank is being clean with them. They bring more business. But, you know, these brands are built and experience are built bit by bit over, like, decades for an institution to get that goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it will take time for these things to play out, maybe in my next generation. But surely directionally we will get that kind of customer goodwill in due course. I hope.
So it will be fair to assume that fee income growth will be somewhat in line with balance sheet growth.
Yeah, no. Fee income will grow more. No, I was meaning to say that when you said how will you compensate, I said we can't exactly do a pipe of a compensation. But with regard to fee income growth, that's the easy one, no? Because there are so many other business lines that are still growing, like our wealth management business growing by 50%. Naturally, fee income will also grow 50%. Credit card business is growing faster. That will give us fee. Cash management has got no connection with all these things. That is growing on its own steam. So there are so many lines of businesses for the bank on fee income. They don't have to be all, you know, taken from the customer on the deposit side. There are so many ways to earn fee income by selling products to customers, and that our bank is beginning to do well.
And sir, on any incremental development on credit card, how do you see that playing out for you?
Doing well. Sulanshu was the number 1.3.
Yeah, so as I touched upon in my opening commentary, we are seeing a strong growth, right? In fact, the credit card issuances have doubled in this quarter vis-a-vis last year. And even spends are growing very in a healthy manner, right? It's a growth of 86% on a YOY basis. So I think we are making a good sort of a market inroad on that product.
So that is also fee income to your previous question,
yeah,
by the way.
So and so that will sort of also add up to the fee income on in a big way even into the coming quarters.
Okay. And there are a lot of discussion again start happening on one of the telecom exposure which industry keeps on talking. Do you want to give any update that where we are on that and or we have no, whether we see any incremental risk coming from that negative or negative side?
your opening batsman who spoke to us, I think it was Ishan or somebody,
yeah,
who opened us up on that account already, right? He said that our exposure is initially 500, but now it's probably come down to about 350 or so. So every quarter it will keep coming down. If you ask us our view, how we feel about it, well, everything is in public domain. You're hearing news from them. Hopefully, it should be fine, and hopefully, our money should be.
And on non-funded, how much we have exposure to the RAF exposure?
To that entity?
Yeah.
No, we don't have non-funded.
Okay. Thank you. A very good set of numbers on all assessments. Well,
yes, sir. Thanks very much for your good words and for your encouragement. Thanks.
Thanks, Ashutosh.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ronak Daga from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Can you provide me the total provisions figure?
Total provisions for the quarter is rupees 450 crores.
Okay, and what will be the breakup of specific contingent and restructured provisions?
We have not called out that number separately, but it's a combination of largely provisions on NPA right, some bit of provisioning on restructured, and as we've increased the loan book further during the quarter, there's some bit of standard asset provisioning which also sort of comes up. But if you see from the previous quarter also, the provision has been quite stable, right? The previous quarter was 425 crores. So the numbers are quite holding up well.
See, the good news is actually that you should always see provisions in the context of the size of the book. So if you recollect, we always guided for the credit cost on retail to be earlier, we used to guide for 2%. Now, this year we are guided for 1.5%. But somehow the credit cost numbers, not somehow, let me just say that because of the way things are playing out and our book quality is really good now, credit cost numbers are, if you annualize the 450 divided by the book that we have, probably 1.3% now.
1.4%.
So we are in the right corridor actually. And we don't see, if you were to ask us to give you an outlook what next year, quarter after that look like, etc., I'd say that will probably be in this corridor.
Okay, and you mentioned that 40% of
the important thing is the way the credit cost is now coming. If you see the last 8-quarter trend on credit cost, it's been continuously contained. Continuously. So therefore, it gives us a lot of confidence in our own book now. And what we do, just for your information, is that Ashutosh is speaking to?
Ronak,
okay. So Ronak, if you look at our stuff, the way we do our maths in our bank and try to predict the credit cost is that we calculate what is the collection percentage we are getting on different buckets. Buckets like 0 to 30, 30 to 60, and so on and so forth. And then we extrapolate the number from there and try to get, and then we estimate what credit cost in the future is going to be. The good news for our bank is that we are in the bucket X. If you're a technical person of the bank, retail banking, you'll probably know what bucket X is. Basically, the current bucket, which is the dominant bucket, is a source of credit flow from there on. That bucket, our collection is running like 99.6%. Or 99.5%. Now, 99.5% is the amount without taking prepayment amount. It is pure EMI due and EMI paid divided by EMI due. No prepayment considered into it. So that number at that, if we sustain that number at that rate, and there's no reason we should not because it's been there like for 12 months now. If we sustain that, then only 0.5 flows to the next bucket. And then there is a formula that works from there on. So we feel that that formula is really very, very well controlled and contained, and we should not give any surprise or shock there because we'll come to know early enough.
Okay, got it, sir. And you mentioned that the repo linked book is 40%, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, yes.
So can you also provide the breakup of MCLR and fixed rate book?
No, I think it's 40% included both.
Yeah, so 40% is floating rate book, out of which 60% is repo linked, and balance is largely linked to MCLR.
Okay, and can you provide the timeline for the capital raise?
We haven't put out any specific number, new data point than what we discussed last time. Last time we had said that we would like to raise 4,000 crores by in the next 1 year. So that next 1 year will probably be September. So there's no new data point on that front that we're sharing. But that means that between now to then, anytime in the next 4 quarters, we do intend to raise that kind of money.
Okay, got it. And just last question, can you provide the restructured number?
Yeah, so restructuring book is 0.9% of the total funded assets, and it has come off by 1%, which we had reported in the previous quarter. So it's roughly around 1,200 crore kind of number.
Okay, and just last one data keeping question. What is the slippages number for the quarter?
Slippages for the quarter is around 1,150 crores. Gross slippage, however, net slippage is about 570 crores.
Okay, got it, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thanks, Ronak. Thanks, Ronak, for your comments. And my general comment on the context of what all the questions you asked, all our flows indicate to us that we should be in a position to contain, keep our provisions somewhere in this zone. And then you can have a good guess about whether P&L is going to look like over the next few quarters, hopefully.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Bhavin Gala from Marine Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and taking the question. Sir, with each passing quarter, our performance has been improving, and I must compliment the management efforts, pursuant to which we have come a long way as we speak today, and it has been a commendable effort from each one of the team out there. So the way I see our bank is, when it comes to asset profile or our margin profile, we are akin to a NBFC. And when it comes to, the trust that we, get from the people due to our banking franchise, we are like a bank. So given that we are already in such a sweet spot wherein, our asset profile is more like an NBFC and our margins are very healthier. The only thing that I see in our, P&L and the earning profile, which is, acting as a very, very big dent, is the provision. I know my fellow speaker already touched about it, but I also wanted to know, while we have been within the, 1.5 kind of guidance, can at any point in time we can aspire to have a moonshot wherein we can look forward to achieving 60, 70 this kind of an, the credit cost? Because that would materially change our profile, earning profile. That is my first question, and I have another question.
No. Let's take one question at a time. So now, well, you see, if you take provision numbers even 1.5, they are like as good as any bank. So, the really good thing about a bank is, it's not actually an NBFC. Now we become a prime player of the respective segment. I'll give you a perspective. Let's take loan against property. Now, when Capital First was doing loan against property, we were probably lending at about 100, 150, 200 basis points more than what an ICICI bank, HDFC bank, Kotak, etc. would do. Which means that, let's take today's market conditions for simplicity. Supposing today loan against property rates are going at, say, 9%. We're probably lending at 11. And the top banks are lending at 9 in today's context. And therefore, why were we doing that? Because our cost of funds is high. So obviously, if you lend at a little 200, 300 basis points more, obviously you were flirting at the edge. But now, in every segment we're operating in, we are playing prime. So if you give a loan against property, our pricing is similar to like any other top bank. So therefore, the way I think of ourselves, I don't think of us like a, I think of us like a prime player of the respective segment. Let me put it like that. Now, which we are. Now, on the credit cost front, obviously because the mix of a product is different and a specialization is there, sometimes people tend to think that, oh my God, if your yield is high, you must be taking riskier business. I mean, such people are often, I'd say, they haven't understood the model. It is the specialization that we have built is what is so special about our bank. If you think of, let me say, rate. Let me say even a top nationalized bank will give a gold loan probably at 9%, but there's also Muthoot and Manappuram is also giving a gold loan maybe 15-16%. That doesn't mean Muthoot and Manappuram doing risky business. They just have a specialization. They're sitting in the roads, near roadside corner where customers can access them. They're giving them great service. They can turn around the gold loan in 10 minutes, whereas a bank may take 2 hours. So there are some people who have specialization which is giving them those benefits. So our bank has developed our own specialization. So our risk is similar to banks, risk cost, credit cost. But yield is higher. This is our specialization.
Yeah, sure, sir. I can't agree more with you on this. So the later part of my question was also, at some point in time, can we also aspire to, further curtail this cost? Because that is the material delta, that can fetch us material delta in our earnings profile.
Well, I told you, you should not never be greedy. You should be conservative in our estimation of a credit cost. So we never want to put fancy numbers like that. If we do a particular business, we should factor for such credit cost. and we should factor for a little more. That's why we always guide for, we used to guide for 2% credit cost when the reality was running 1.5. Now we're guiding 1.5, reality is less than that. So we should be conservative and factor for a little more credit cost, not less.
Yes, sir. Point noted, sir. And my second question was on the scalability. You know, I would here take a liberty of, you know, comparing our bank to another similar kind of banking franchise. Though they are an SFB and we are an universal bank, the run rate in the segment that we operate and they operate, they have been able to make a little higher disbursement. For example, our net, while we have been growing 25% year on year, the net addition to our loan book has been 8,500 crores at a given quarter. Whereas, you know, similar player operating in similar segment have been, which are very lesser in the size compared to us, have been adding assets in the north of 10,000 in a given quarter. So are we playing conservative? Are we, you know, still trying to fix certain things so that the ground is clear for us to scale when we go to a next orbit? Your views on this, sir?
No, it's again a good question. See, just because it's a market, we should not play all our shots all the time. We have a steady model. Our loan book is growing by 8,000, 9,000 crores a quarter. We're very happy with that. It is, you know, as you know, we have to factor this in the context of our capital. So if we run ahead of ourselves, then we'll run out of capital and ahead of time. So as a management, we have to carry the bank along in terms of about the we should pace our growth. If you remember the first 3 years after the merger, we paced our growth in such a way to grow only 5%. Bhavin, do you remember that? So we paced ourselves at that way. Now we're pacing ourselves at 25. We believe at this pace, the accrual of our profits will be such that our ROA, ROE will get fixed appropriately. If we grow too fast, run out of capital, we've got to come to the market earlier than planned, it has its own implications. So we are pacing ourselves accordingly.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
By the way, moderator, it's been 1 hour. I thought we have 1 hour call. So, so if there's anybody else who have, yeah, Sarvesh.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
First question is on the loss-making businesses. Earlier, you used to allude to the run rate of certain businesses as well as infrastructure bonds that is sort of hurting the P&L, and that should sort of normalize in the coming times. So if you can provide an update of the current run rate of some of these. Second is was related to the 4,000 crore fundraising. So I think that is already answered. And third, I think on the provision side, it looked a bit higher. Just looking at the other banks' provisions, normally we have seen a lowering trend in the overall provisions, although the credit cost as a percentage is lower, but I think it trended slightly upwards in the absolute amount. So are there some one-offs or any extra provisions that we have made, or is it business as usual?
No. You should only look at it in context of credit cost as a percentage, because, you know, in absolute terms, they mean nothing. You got to see that, divide that by the average book, and see if you are paying, if the credit cost is low or high. And as of now, credit cost is quite low for the kind of business we're doing. And pretty much lower than guidance. And even absolute, if you compare this 1.2, 1.3% credit cost with the market, I'd say it's very attractive. That too for a yield that is relatively much higher. So that's that. With regard to loss-making businesses, I think, yeah, I mean, they should taper off bit by bit in due course. Liabilities takes a long time. I don't know if you run liability businesses. I have built that in one of my earlier organizations. It takes a really long time to taper off liabilities to become cost neutral. But the good news is that the asset side of this bank is so profitable that it is able to absorb those costs. So therefore, that drag will take time, but I think the credit card loss should fix itself with scale, maybe at about 2 million cards or so. it should kind of begin to break even.
And Sarvesh, on the provisioning front, just to add, while we have seen a 15% increase, but at the same time, it has to be noted that we had made our provisioning norms more stringent in the previous quarter, right? We took some impact, right? So it has to be also seen in that context. Credit cost for 9M is just 1.13%, right? And so for the current quarter, it's 1.2%, right?
So I hope you'll agree, 1.1, 1.2, is really nothing. I've been in the industry long enough. For our business segments, you know, we are not exactly doing prime only home loan and car loan like some of the, some other banks do. And for us to have credit cost at this order for a yield that is relatively high, this is a very unique model. I genuinely believe, I don't know if you people are beginning to see it or not, but I genuinely believe we're building a really fantastic model in this bank. It's special because for our kind of low credit cost, and by the way, having low credit costs is again not a fluke. Please go back and see the Capital First time also. They were very attractive. Our ROE had touched 15%. They were inching up quarter on quarter. It was heading towards a 20 ROE, Capital First. Don't forget. And it has moved from 0 to 15 in that window of 5 years. So, and it was still inching up at the time of merger, as you know, go and see the numbers that are there in the presentation. So we have a really unique model. Like one of the earlier speakers talked about the fact, who questioned us, saying that, look, your yield is attractive and you're getting the liabilities of a bank, I think it's very, very unique, actually. So over time, people will begin to see, you know, you play this game year after year without hurrying it, without hurrying up growth. I don't want to hurry up growth at all. It'll come. If I play it patiently, it'll come. And then people will see what is evolving here. I'm sure you will. You watch this game for next 3-4 quarters. You'll get very convinced.
Understood, sir. And my final question, just in terms of understanding of your names. So while you said that you are still playing that prime game, but our names are still sort of more aligned to a SFB or a NBFC. So as we scale, are we trying to just continue doing the same thing in terms of our names and also letting our cost go proportionately higher so our profits also grow in the same way, or we are sort of have upfronted our cost and now in the coming years we are going to look into lowering our names and the names resembling more like a universal bank, which with a lower cost will give you the same sort of returns on equity like a larger bank?
So, Sarvesh, if you're in you're running a bank with some very unique capabilities like we have, would you want to really become like every other bank? You answer me. What do you want to become?
Yeah, perhaps not. Yeah.
Perhaps not. Why? It's such a good model, getting good yield, very low credit cost. Historical 10-year credit cost is quite low, so now it means the model works. And we have actually displayed on our investor presentation, you know, in very minute detail how we underwrite loans. I think you should check that out. We've given step by step, 10 steps that we take on to underwrite a loan. It's working beautifully. So it's so good. So we don't want to become everybody else. We have a good lending model. We can scale up, finished. And now just simple. Just keep things simple. You have a good lending model, keep it going. You have a good liability franchise, keep it going. The margins are good, they're good. Now we don't have to complicate it at all. We don't have to become somebody else. We are what we are.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you.
Just as long as asset quality is good, as long as incremental asset quality indicators are good, I want to just point it out to you 10 seconds before so that you understand. So in our business, we will come to know very much in advance if we are going to have a credit problem. Advance meaning what? If our collections is not 99.5, if it came down to 98.5 for 3 months at a stretch, we know three quarters from now we'll have a problem. So, because after all, what we collect in bucket X is what spills over bucket X is what goes next. So therefore, our objective is to make sure that our quality never suffers, our collection percentages continue to remain strong. That will automatically give us low credit cost and simply scale the book from here on. We are really keeping it simple.
Understood. So that would also mean that as we scale up and if you are playing the same sort of a NIM game, then at certain point of time, you will have your cost exhaustion coming up, which will result in probably an ROE much higher than a typical large bank.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't want to go run ahead of myself. But certainly we believe that the business model is such that it will give a very strong ROE. You just watch this game. Just watch next 4 quarters, watch next 8 quarters. I told you, we are playing a long-term game. You also play a long-term game with us. Don't hurry us up and don't hurry yourself also. So watch this game. You watch the next quarter results. It's a very simple model. In fact, our commentary will become very almost every quarter's commentary will sound the same from now on, actually.
Understood. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
And the other thing is that, you know, on provisioning provisional results, none of you asked a question as to why we didn't put it out this quarter, but we'll call it out. We don't want to give provisional results anymore because anyway, around 23rd, 25th of the end of the quarter closing month, we are releasing the results. So we don't want to put out two results. We just want to put out one result and reconcile it to put it out clean. And so basically the process, you know, that was during COVID is when we started it, but now COVID uncertainty is also gone. So we'll now straightforward announce the results and be done with it.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Yeah. Anybody else, Prince? But first of all, thanks so much for being with us. I think you had many other con calls to hear. So thanks for being with us among the many other even options and larger banks that you were covering. We appreciate that. So if there's anything, you can always reach out to us from now on and even during the rest of the quarter, and Saptarishi is there to assist you.
Thank you, sir. Due to time constraint, that was the last question, sir.
Yeah.
I would like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
No, closing comments made already from our side.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.